Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
On today's episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad, to gift or not to gift? That is the question. How often do you buy travel souvenirs for family or friends, or even for yourself during your travels? What makes a good travel souvenir, and what makes a crap one? Is it even worth buying gifts for family and friends? Are you ever actually going to use that thing that you bought when you get home, or is it just going to sit on a shelf and collect dust for eternity? So let's dive into this topic and discuss in more detail. Hello, Steph.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Guess what I did today? I mean, you can guess anything, but guess what I did?
You booked a flight.
Well, actually, I did book a flight, but that's not what I was going to get you to guess, but I did book a flight. Oh. I booked a flight home to Toronto in June, though, so it's not like... I mean, I guess it's travel. I love that we never consider flying to Canada as travel.
I literally fly to Canada in 24 hours of recording this. Yeah.
But you don't feel like you're going on vacation or anything.
Definitely not.
You just feel like you're going home. So actually, great guess, because I did book a flight, but that's not the guess I want you to guess.
Okay. I'm at a loss. What did you
do? All right, fine. So I went and got new passport photos taken today.
Oh,
my Canadian passport is expiring later this year. And I was like, oh, I can't believe 10 years has gone by, but I had to get new photos taken.
Okay.
And
how do they look?
It was one of those where like, you got to get yourself a bit glammed up. But then like when I went and I got the photo done, then I remembered the time at an airport once where I came off the plane just looking absolutely like ratchet and horrible, and they didn't recognize me at the desk. And
I've had that happen.
And the woman's like, do you have another piece of ID? Like, I looked so different. And I'm like, ah. So guys, always remember, don't look too good in your passport photos, because let's be honest, nobody's looking good when they're traveling, you know, long distance.
I once had to get passport photos while I was in India. So it would have been for a visa or something, not my actual passport. But regardless, they wanted a passport photo that was signed, like you got it. They had to confirm who took it. And while I was there in the shop before they printed it, they were photoshopping the photo, like tweaking my skin, doing this, opening my eye. And I was standing there, I'm like, is this legal? Because in Canada, this shit would never fly. But like, they full on edited my passport photo before they printed it and signed it. And I was like,
oh, wow.
I don't think this is allowed, but hey, I don't know your rules here, but
that's too funny. Yeah, I definitely don't think that is allowed, but I guess how would they know? But still, so that's so funny.
Speaking real quick on passport photos, just so everyone knows, I've seen the US are rolling out a new system, like a new passport system. And people are receiving their photos and their passport, and their photos are just completely, however the US is printing them, just completely whitewashed. Like, you can barely even see the person in the photo. So they're having to send it back and do it again. But just for timeline wise, guys, and I gotta say, I've seen people posting their passports in groups, and it is hilarious. But not hilarious when you get your passport 2 weeks before you need to fly and it's not usable.
Yeah.
So reminder to everyone now, check your passport. see when it expires.
That's what I did. Since I'm flying home in June, mine expires in July. And I'm like, ooh, I should probably get on that. So hopefully over here it won't take too long. But
yeah,
it was funny, the whole photo thing. Like, I looked at my new photo and, you know, it's been 10 years since my last photo. And I was like, oh, God, I could see the aging a little bit. So, and also, you know, you're just starting to see little lines that you didn't see 10 years ago. And it's funny because my current Canadian passport, so I feel like I look pretty good in it. But that was the picture that was taken when I lost my passport in Germany during Oktoberfest. And I had been like, oh my God, on like a bender for like 3 days, hadn't really slept properly. And when I did sleep, it was like in a tent in like pissing down rain. And I don't think I had showered that day. And we had to go get these emergency passport photos done. And actually I'm like, I look pretty good. Like I look pretty decent. So A, I'm kind of like, I feel like that one looks better than I look now. And I like glammed myself up a bit. But B, I'm also kind of sad that my new passport won't have this great story behind it with the picture in it.
Well,
so,
just when the new one comes, it means you just have to lose it again and get another emergency true. One.
I'm going to miss my old Canadian passport, but that's fine. It's time to retire it and move on to the late 30s version of myself, where I'm probably a lot more responsible and I probably won't lose a passport again. What fun is that? Anyways, so... Steph, question for you.
Yes.
When you travel, what are your thoughts on souvenirs for yourself and gifts for people back home? Because that's what we're talking about today. As if you didn't know. Surprise! This is this week's episode. We're talking gifts, souvenirs.
Yeah. So for the longest time, this is the benefit of long-term travel, like doing really long trips, is people don't expect you to buy gifts because you can't carry them around for 6 months. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's what I've told myself to justify not buying people gifts.
Yep.
Or I'll buy them in like the very last destination. I hate obligatory gift giving where you're buying it because you have to. But so now my big thing, none of my friends need anything.
Yeah.
Like if I see something that screams their name, I'll get it. But I'm not buying anything anymore because I feel like I have to. But I do like getting my nieces and nephew things.
Okay. So stuff for the kids.
Do they care about what I'm getting them? I don't know.
Because true.
I find I put a lot of thought into what I get them because one loves reading, one loves it. Like they love different things. So
yeah.
But it's always something from where I am. So whether it's a bookmark or, you know, my nephew collects patches, and I don't think as a kid, like when people gave me those things as a kid, I was like, thanks for.
So what, you liked them or you just didn't care?
I did not care at all. And now as an adult, I'm like, oh, they probably were putting so much thought into it too. Like I do, like I'll stand there and look at a wall full of bookmarks to pick the best one for her. Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. Like, I think that's just like how kids are. I mean, I did the same. My nephew is 6 months old. And so when I went home for
and
Christmas.
And he doesn't appreciate his gifts?
I know. I'm like a little bastard. No, I'm kidding. But I bought him like a bunch of stuff from the zoo because I volunteer at the zoo. And, you know, just like cute little plushy toys. And I was so excited to give them to him. And then like, I mean, I had the realization giving him. I'm like, he's fucking 6 months old. He doesn't know what any of this is, but whatever, you know, I think when you buy stuff for kids, I don't know, you get more out of it.
And, yeah.
Which is funny because they probably appreciate it less than like adults. But yeah, so I think there's pros and cons.
Yeah.
To souvenir buying when you are traveling and gift giving.
Yeah.
And I feel like we can talk about some of those. And I think the first thing you mentioned, I'm in the same boat where, look, I think we both know I like to travel light. The only time I'm really traveling with like a big suitcase at any time is if I'm going home for Christmas, you know, to tow Christmas gifts home. And then also I think like when I visited you in Australia for like 2 weeks, like I brought a suitcase with me, but I was, you know, based at your house. Like I wasn't really moving anywhere. So
yeah,
if I've got hand luggage, like the idea of buying a bunch of stuff that I then have to bring back for multiple people, I'm like, no. Like, I usually don't have room because I've packed some, like, carry-on to the absolute seams.
Yeah.
So that's also my excuse.
Well, I'll tell you, even there's been times, like, I did buy, when I was in China, I bought all my friends keychains at the Terracotta Warriors because I thought, you know, this is cute. It had a spot in the back, too.
You did the keychains.
It had a spot, I'll tell you, had a spot on the back to engrave their names. I'm like, this is perfect. When I'll get home, I'll get each person's name engraved on them and then give them to them. And it's actually thoughtful. It's practical. You can put it on your keys. Can I tell you, I never got them engraved, never gave them to anyone. I still, in Australia, living in a different country, sporadically find, I bought like 10 or 12 of them. I'll still.
Wait, so you still have them?
Well, they got like mixed, you know, when you have little things and they get mixed and then lost amongst all your shit. Like to this day, I'll still open a bag that has like, you know, tons of samples or this or that or whatever to look for something and find one of those bloody keychains. I was there in 2015.
Oh, God, you're going to keep this forever.
Like, oh, God.
I think that's a good point, though. Like, OK, so something like a keychain. And this is a really good, like, a keychain is like a typical souvenir that you would either maybe buy for yourself or buy for someone back at home. Now, I feel like when we're shopping for souvenirs, when we're traveling, do we ever really think if the person that we're buying this for would want it?
Yeah.
Or actually use it? And we don't. And I think we, like, sometimes we can get so caught up in the idea of just, like, wanting to buy stuff and wanting to shop. And, like, there's that excuse of, like, oh, I'm in another country. Like, this will be a piece of memorabilia for someone that's not even here. Like, I think there's so, I look back at, like, some of the things I've bought for people where I'm like, I bet they never used that. I bet it's just sitting there collecting dust or, they've given it away. So I think, like, that's what I try to think of now. If I am actually going to bring something back for someone, I'm like, do they want this? Will they want this? And, like, if they do give it away, are they going to feel guilty? Because I have that sometimes where I've gotten stuff from people. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, thank you so much for this Eiffel Tower keychain. And, like, I've put it in, like, a charity box giveaway. And I feel really bad about it. Because I know somebody, like, gave it to me. And I'm like, ugh. So maybe think of that, guys. Are you making people feel guilty?
Well, the irony of that with you is the fact that because you live in London, like, London is the city of transit.
Yeah, true.
So it's like, yeah, that's funny.
That's too funny. I think we talk about, like, money as well and, like, travel budgeting. I mean, I know some people that will just spend so much money on quite literally just tat, like junk, like stuff either from like, you know, you see. OK, so I have a good example. Like, I bought when I went to Paris for the first time. It was my first time ever, like, going abroad, I think. And I bought this purse from, like, some market, or it's like a side bag. And it had Paris written on it, and it was in, like, funky colors. And I'm like, wow,
oh, my God, I think we all know the bag you're talking about. Yeah. Because you see them in New York. You see them in.
Yes. I was like, oh, this bag is so unique. This is so unique and so cool. And I'm going to buy this and bring it back with me. As I started traveling more, exactly what you said, every city I went to where there was some type of market, like, if you go into Camden Market in London, you can find the exact same bag that says London on it. When I went to Milan, I saw the same bag there. I saw the same bag in Rome. I've seen that bag everywhere. And obviously I don't have that bag anymore, but a lot of this stuff, and I think I spent, like, I mean, it wasn't cheap. It was probably like 10, 15 euro. And it's just a, like it's not cash grab at all.
Yeah,
it's a cash grab.
I've seen that bag. I've literally seen that bag everywhere, like Miami.
Yes,
like
Barcelona,
everywhere. That's too funny. I mean, maybe somebody, those are some of the lessons you have to learn as you travel, though. Like, you do buy it the first time, and then you realize.
Well, and I think if you want to buy gifts, souvenirs for yourself, souvenirs for others, I mean, look at local artists, local shopkeepers. Like, avoid the touristy spots. If I mean, I always think if you do want to buy some something unique for someone and not just tat. Maybe you do want to buy tat, though. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so speaking to trying to buy local, though, like, I mean, it's not easy because my big thing now when I travel is I usually try to buy a painting or something. I have a collection of paintings to hang up when my house is ready. But something unique from an artist there. And what I've learned is, A, if you just go a lot of the stalls at markets and different things, they have these beautiful, unique looking paintings. But then you notice like 20 to 30 stalls have the same paintings. And you're like, okay, this isn't like an artist stall. This is just a wholesale, like,
that's probably the
consumer stall.
It's probably the same place where you can buy that bag.
Yeah, exactly. Or they super find ways to trick you. Like, they have you ever gone somewhere where you see the quote unquote artist and they're putting the final touches of paint on a painting? And I've come to realize over the years, they didn't paint it. They stand there all day and pretend to do these final strokes as if they're finishing their own painting. So they're convincing you that they're the artist, but they're not.
So I think that's quite scammy. I mean, I think maybe avoid these market stalls then. Like, I feel like everyone goes to find some, like, you know, unique market in all these different cities. But, like, really, are they that unique? Like, I'm even thinking, like, living in London, if you go down to, like, Camden Town.
Yeah.
And the market stalls they have there, like, it's such a tour. Like, tourists go there all the time. But everybody knows. Most of that stuff is just touristy tat. And like you said, you can find the same bags at every other stall.
Yeah.
Or the same, quote unquote, paintings or prints at every other stall. So I think you have to, like, dig a bit deeper.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, and the one time, the funniest time when I tried to barter, I probably told this story before, was paintings in Cuba. And I found these ones and they were, like, original. I was obsessed with them. But I was like, oh, I can definitely find these at other stalls cheaper because you wouldn't barter with me. Yeah. And I went around to all the other stalls and these paintings were nowhere. I was like, oh, I think they were actually... Like, maybe originals. I actually did find originals. So then I had to go back with, like, my tail between my legs and just be like, I'll pay you what you asked for. But that's the thing, is sometimes you're paying for that originality. Like, obviously, you're supporting an actual artist.
That's what I would rather do now, and actually support these, like, a local artist. Or, I mean, I remember going down when I was in Prague a few years ago, and I was there for the Christmas markets. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I actually brought back. Because again, I'm like, I don't want to buy just a bunch of, like, junky tat. But at the Christmas markets, they had, like, actual, like, craftspeople there. And there was this one stall, and this lady made Christmas ornaments, all sort of, like, hand carved out of wood. And a lot of them were, like, it said Prague on it. And I'm like, that's a perfect gift. I think I brought them back for, like, my mom and my sister, who, you know, they love their Christmas ornaments, and they always like putting new stuff up on the tree.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a good gift. Like, that is a good gift from, again, she was a local wood, I don't know, what do you call that? Somebody that works with wood.
I should know this.
Wood?
Like a crafts...
Woodswoman?
A craftsman? Oh, not a craftsman.
Craftswoman?
Yeah.
Craftsperson?
Let's just go with that.
A woodworker. But anyways, and again, you could tell it was, you know, it wasn't something I just bought at the airport. It wasn't like I went to every other stall and they had the same stuff. So I felt good about that purchase because I was supporting a local artist. I brought something cool back that actually could be used as well. I think that's the other thing we kind of mentioned before, like, you know, when you're buying something for someone, A, do they actually want it, and B, will they actually use it? I'm big on gifts. If people bring gifts back for me for stuff I can actually use, and I actually remember when you came over here from Australia and you brought me some spices. It was like some honey, like it was Australian, like, honey or something.
Yeah.
And I've used that for cooking, and it's something I can use, and it's not just going to, like, sit on a shelf and collect dust.
Yeah.
I think there's, like, you know, so many places have, like, oh, God, when I was in Tenerife, the novelty items as well. I don't know why every beach town I have ever been to around the world, why everything is dick-themed. Like, do you know what I'm talking
about?
I've
seen that in places, yeah, where I'm like,
oh, my God. Like everything, bottle openers.
Yeah.
Shaped like a big dick. Coasters, dicks on them. Magnets with a big, like,
dick.
Big veiny dick. And I'm like, what is... And I remember, like, Tenerife, everywhere. When I was in Bali, they were everywhere. When I was in Thailand, and I'm like, I don't get it. But I see so many people that are like, oh my God, this is hilarious. I'm going to buy my friend a big dick-themed, like, bottle opener. And they bring them back, and I'm like...
Is that going on the fridge? Actually... Maybe it is.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, if somebody brought that back for me, I'd be like, A, I've seen this a million times. It's actually not as funny as you think it is. But B, like, I don't really want a big dick magnet. Like... bottle opener or like a corkscrew in my house. So like, guys, maybe, you know, the novelty things, like take a picture and send it to your friend.
Yeah.
I don't think your friend probably wants that.
Yeah. It's hard because I find these gift giving things too, like you go through phases. So for example, I used to think the shittiest gift was coasters. And now that I'm actually like thinking about my house and da 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 all the stuff, I'm like, oh, like I'd really like, I see the value of coasters now that I have now that I will soon have a home.
Yeah.
Whereas I used to think that was the shittiest, most average gift. Like, like things change. So it's like, that's why you do need to think of who you're buying for. And like
totally.
If your friend is constantly traveling or living van life, do they need coasters?
Right. That's a good point. Maybe think about, like, where is your friend or your family in the stage of their life? Do they want a dick?
Maybe they do.
Magnet? Maybe. Maybe they do. Maybe you have a very promiscuous friend that genuinely just loves dick themed things, then go for it. But like, as you said, if you've got a friend that's like, you know, like settling down and maybe is about to buy a house, actually maybe think of the practical.
Yes.
You know, the practicality of that, and think like, oh, what would be good? Coasters. Maybe they would like some nice coasters. That's, I mean, I love the idea of just a practical gift, something that will be used and not shaped like a dick, and also not just like random trinkets that are going to sit around on a shelf and collect dust, which I have many of those
I'm
myself.
I'm laughing on so many levels right now. A, because I'm actually giving someone a dick gift tomorrow.
Yes, but isn't
that... But they will appreciate it. Yeah, you know who it is. It'll be very appreciated.
Okay.
And then also in 2015, so when I did my around the world trip, and I wasn't really buying gifts for other people because I only had a backpack. But in each country, I was like, I want a memento, you know, something I'll use down the road when I have my home place. And I can't remember what I got in every place, but I really like bought things thinking, I don't know what I was thinking. Like in Uruguay, I bought, so... In South America, like tea, it's tea culture with, they call it mate. Mm-hmm. And I bought mate straws, for lack of a better term, are very like unique and specific. And I thought, I will buy a mate straw and that's how I'll drink my tea from now on.
Oh my God.
Canada.
How often did you actually use
once, that straw? And then I washed it and it rusted inside and out. And it was like...
Wow.
And I held on to that bloody thing for years until I finally threw it out.
Oh my God.
But now I really am on the practical. Like when we were in Banff last year, my Banff memento is, you know, the things you sit beside your oven that you put that your dirty, like as you're cooking, you put the
utensils. Yeah, like a spoon.
On. I bought a Banff, one of those. So practical. Okay. Can be left out, gets used all the time, goes in the bloody dishwasher. Yeah. Like now, little things like that for around the house where when I look at it, I'll have that memory of that trip.
And you can use it for something.
But I'm actually using it. It's not there out of obligation.
I'm all for that. Don't buy me a snow globe.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days.
But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Don't buy like ashtrays. I remember like
yeah,
people used to buy people ashtrays where they didn't even smoke, and I'm like, what? Like, I don't understand.
For when you have visitors, obviously.
Yeah, because it's the 70s apparently. No, but so I was exactly like you when I first kind of started traveling, you know, when I moved over to London, and it was the same thing. I'm like, I want to buy a memento from every place I ever visit. And I have so much tat in my house where, like, a few of the things I do have up on a little shelf in my living room. Like, I remember buying in Hong Kong this little plastic Buddha, but it's like, he's like a smiley Buddha, and like, he's just quite funny. He's got a big belly and he's tiny, and I have him sitting up there. And then when I was in Bali, I bought a little mini statue. It's metal and it's like a fat lady doing yoga. So I've got her up there, but it's all just like, it's stuff I have to dust all the time.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a bunch of stuff. I'm like, oh God, like, okay, the Buddha, he's got a dusty belly. So let me like wipe that up. And then I have a cupboard full of like, oh my God, the stuff I bought in Morocco. Jesus Christ. I mean, someone should have stopped me. I have a whole cupboard full of just, I bought like a lantern thing. And I was like, oh, well, this will look pretty with a tea light in it. I've never used it. I bought like wooden dice that are in like a slidey box.
Maybe you can literally play dice next time you've come yeah, over.
Maybe like, again, have never used that. I bought a tagine. I bought a ceramic tagine, and I remember somehow I got that back into like a backpack. It barely fit.
Have you ever cooked?
No. So. Yeah, for anyone that isn't familiar with a tagine, it's what they use in like Morocco, but other like Middle Eastern countries to cook food. Potatoes, meat. Anyways, the whole time I was there, they were using tagines. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get one of these. I'm going to learn how to cook like this food, and I'm going to use my tagine at home. I don't cook. Like, what was I thinking, that I was going to become like
a Middle Eastern chef? Like,
yeah. So I brought home a tagine, and did I use it? Not once. And that also sits up on a shelf in my kitchen. It's just a decorative piece now. I've had to dust that many times as well because it just collects dust. So all this stuff, I'm the same. There's just so much junk. I've got junk in drawers of stuff I've bought over the years from God knows where. I think as well, here's a good one, clothing.
Oh. So
people love, when they're shopping and like bringing stuff back either for themselves or their friends, they want to buy clothes. They want to buy like traditional clothes from where they're visiting. Guys, I would say stay away from that. I actually know a girl who went to India, and she bought like an entire like sari, like the traditional like what women wear yeah. there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
She bought one. Like, not for a wedding or anything. Like, and I get, like, I know people that have bought them when they do go to, like, an Indian wedding and they want to dress, you know, in the attire or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she bought one and it was, like, not cheap. And I'm like, where the hell are you going to wear an Indian sari? And she's never worn it. She has never worn it anywhere. And it was one of those purchases where she's like, I was in the moment. Like, I yeah. wanted to bring one back.
That At least was, like, you got to own it when you do that.
Yeah. And, like, I bought a Oktoberfest the first time I went in Germany.
Lederhosen?
Like a Bavarian. No, not a Lederhosen, but like a Bavarian hat. One of the Oktoberfest, like Bavarian yeah. hats.
Oh, I've definitely had one of those. With the feather
and all that. And again, that hat has been sitting in my closet for years. Like, same. Like, there is dust all over it.
But I feel like Oktoberfest is one of those ones. You have to have the hat. I think that's worth
it.
Yeah. Maybe like, throw it out now or donate it. But
yeah, because I don't think I'm going to go again. But it's one of those where I'm like, oh, I don't want to get rid of it because it was a memento. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have these, like, attachments to it where, like, you think you'll look back one day and be like, oh, like, look at my hat, look at my Indian sari, but, like, you won't. It's just stuff at the end of the day, right?
My favorite clothing purchase that I did once was, so towards the end of my Around the World trip, I was in Thailand, and this is such, like, a cliche travel thing, is buy, you know, the Thai pants, the elephant pants?
The elephant parachute that pants,
literally
yeah.
everyone who goes to Thailand buys. And yep. you buy them and you think, I'm going to wear these all the time when I get back.
They'll be
and
so comfortable don't. Lounging at they, home.
They are very comfortable. I will say that.
Yeah.
So I bought myself a pair and pretty much, I think I got 3 or 4 friends a pair. And A, unless you've been to Thailand, you don't understand
no.
these pants. No. So giving them as gifts, I think people were like, and as they were opening them, I'm like, no, you got to understand though. Like these are really cool in Thailand.
Yeah.
Like, I'm having to justify why I'm giving it to them as they're opening it.
Yeah.
And then I think I wore them for about a week or two once I got home. And the whole obviously I bought them at a market, like a tourist market. The entire seams ripped and they just like split completely, like beyond repair. And I was like,
tragic.
I got it. And I mean, it was the type of market while I was there. An alarm went off and all of a sudden I was like in the hall of this market and every vendor just shut their door in seconds. It was like lively market, people everywhere to like just tourists standing in a hall confused because the police had shown up. So this alarm goes off where they all shut it because they're all selling counterfeit goods. And they're there to crack down on the counterfeit goods. So they all pretend they're closed. But it instantly went from open and lively to... okay, I guess we're done now. So that should have been my first red flag.
But that's probably another one that you don't want to bring back, like fake Chanel bags to your friends just because you found them somewhere. Like that's another one where I see people like, oh my god, look at this bag.
Yeah,
it's like, A, I would never walk around with a Chanel bag anyways. B, did you buy this just because it's counterfeit and it looks real? Like, just avoid that altogether.
Yeah. And I definitely got my nieces in China, these like little China doll dresses.
Oh, yeah.
We're now in hindsight. I'm going to ask my sister, be like, did you ever, like, did they wear it? What happened? Spent a lot of money. That was one I didn't go cheap on.
I think as well, though, like when we're talking about clothing, especially like traditional clothing, I think you have to be careful with the whole like cultural appropriation side of it as well. Like where you don't, like there's certain things like, you know, buying a sombrero in Mexico and then bringing it back and wearing a sombrero, like, you know, where you live. Like, I don't, do you really, you know, I think there's a fine line. I think we talk about this in actually one of our older episodes, Attire Abroad, back in like from 2019. If anyone hasn't listened to it, feel free to go back. But I think, yeah, you want to definitely be careful with the clothes. Like if you're looking at traditional clothes or like hair accessories, that kind of thing, like just... maybe check, you know, and see, is it appropriate? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what you're saying is when I go home for a visit, I shouldn't wear my Thai pants, sombrero.
I don't know if Thai pants are, though. Like, Thai pants are Thai pants. But I think there's certain, like, you see people walking around with, like, headdresses, like the feather headdresses.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to put on a piece of clothing from a culture, like, I think you need to understand the significance of it. And if it's okay.
For sure.
And before you start bringing them back to your friends, you know, you don't want to bring back, like, a hat with, like, dreadlocks. I've seen those.
Oh, my
gosh. You know, people go to Jamaica and they bring back these, like, hats with fake dreads. Not appropriate. I think now in 2023, like, stuff like that. So maybe just, you know, steer clear of it. But that's funny, though. In Thailand, I also brought back, oh, my God, I bought, like... so the tank top that says same, same, but different.
Yeah.
And it was like neon pink. And I bought that thinking, what a cool tank top. And like, and then another one with like Chang beer, like the local beer.
The Bintang.
And I bought.
There's the Bintang also. Yeah.
Isn't Bintang.
Sorry, that's Bali.
That's Bali. Yeah. No, this one's Chang. It's got the elephant on it.
Yeah, I remember.
Which is Chang in Thai means elephant. But yeah, I brought the host back and like same thing. I'm like, where the hell am I going to wear a same but different tank top in London? I think the Chang beer tank top I did like wear to bed quite a lot for a while, and then I got rid of it. But like same thing. I'm like, why am I buying this crap? Like, what? It's just touristy tat.
But that's what they do. They get you hyped up in the moment. And sometimes if you enjoy that moment, hey, more power to you.
True. I mean, I guess, yeah, it's very in the moment, though.
It is funny. I definitely got in the moment on my trip in the U.S. in 2022. I was like,
yeah,
I was like, because I went to a national park for the first time, and then I went to a few of them, and I was obsessed. And I bought a shirt at each national park I went to.
Oh, God.
And I was like, I have a new goal of buying a shirt, and in my life I'll visit every national park. And
oh, Jesus.
And I was like, and I have them back. And to be fair, I love the one. The other two I've worn a couple times, but I don't love them on. I'm like, I bought these just to buy a shirt at the national park. Not because I love them.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time we're just buying stuff for the sake of buying stuff. And it's very in the moment. And I think like what I try to do now is take a step back and go through that list of like, okay, who am I buying this for? Like, do they want it? If it's for me, I'm like, do I want this? Am I actually going to use it? How much is this? Is this like, you know, feeding into my travel budget? And is it worth it? Like, oh, this reminded me of when we were in Canada last year. So Steph and I went dog sledding. And so we did this like amazing dog sledding excursion.
Yeah.
This one morning. And
almost lost our fingers to frostbite.
Oh, so cold. It was like -40 almost or something stupid. But anyways, and obviously like we were taking pictures on our phones throughout. We had a couple friends that were there as well. They were taking pictures. But then they had like a photographer. I wouldn't even say a photographer, just like one of the guys that worked for the tour company that also was taking like photos with his camera like throughout the morning of everyone with their dogs and in the sleds. Anyways, and then when we were finished, like we were just so hyped because it was such a fun morning.
Yeah.
And the guy basically like came around to everybody that was in our group and was like, all right, like guys, I'm selling, you know, we've got the photos that you can buy. And they got like individual ones of us like as we were going up a hill, and then whatever, just all the group photos. Anyways, they were selling the photos on a USB for $40. And I'm like, yes, I need all of the photos. There's like 100 some odd photos on there. And I spent $40 on it. And I have not looked at any of those photos since we've been back. And I can't, like, and I know they're just, most of them are going to be of people we don't even know that were in that tour group that day. People that like at the time were like making friends with. And I'm like, I'm never going to see these people again in my entire life. And again, that was a very in the moment purchase where I would have been just as happy with the pictures we took on our own phones our friends took.
That happens all the time. Even me with my I bought a professional camera that was worth thousands of dollars and was like, I'm going to take amazing photos. And for years, I take amazing photos on my cell phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I would carry this bloody camera around. It takes a chunk of your suitcase. Wouldn't use it. When I did, I didn't do anything with the photos on it. And finally, I'm like, I need to sell this thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what like these tour companies do. Like they just take a bunch of pictures of not even just you, like everyone. And they're like, all right, we're going to sell all these now. We bought one in Egypt. There's a picture of us on a boat.
Yes. On
a Nile cruise. Yeah. That Nile cruise was something else. But anyways, Nile cruise, it's a picture of me, Steph, and these random people that we met. And again, they print like it was like a professional photo where they like printed out the actual picture and put it in one of those like paper frames. And they were selling them to people on the boat. And I think I paid $10. Like it was equivalent of like $10.
Yeah.
And that picture, I'm like, why do I have this picture of me and Steph, but then like five other random people that I'm like, I don't even know who these people are. And it's again sitting in a, like, I'm not gonna frame that and put it up on my wall. I can't even Photoshop the other people out because it's a physical photo. And again, souvenir.
Yeah.
Sure. Take my money.
Photos are definitely a big trap when you go places. Because, yeah, you do want to. It's easy to forget now, especially with cell phones. I get it. Back in the day when we didn't have cell phones, you had to get things developed. Like a good quality photo, get it. It's definitely dated now. You know what's one thing I do buy, though, that I don't regret ever?
What's that?
Magnets.
Oh, same. That's my thing.
Yeah. So I get a magnet and I get like irrationally annoyed if people try to give me a magnet of a place they've been because they know I collect magnets.
I was just like, thinking that. Yeah. I literally was just having the same thought.
I'm like, no. Like the point of the magnets is I went there and I got
where
it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No. So I thought that I was just about to say the same thing because I have a couple magnets on my fridge. Don't get me wrong. I'm very thankful for them. I'm grateful. Magnets are actually a really, a good gift because they're practical and they don't take up any space and you can put them on your fridge and like, you know, pin up your bills that you got to pay or whatever.
Yeah. Like, well, and every practical. Time you see it, you open the fridge, you see one of them and you think of when you were there. Like it actually does the memory recall.
Yes. And I open the fridge a lot throughout the day. So, but no, they take up no space, but I feel the same way. Like there's a couple on my fridge where I'm like, it almost annoys me where I'm like, okay, I haven't actually been to this place yet. Yeah. So like, you should not have a really like prime spot on the fridge. But then sometimes I'm like, oh, I haven't been there, so maybe I should go because I have the magnet. But, yeah.
Inspiration everywhere.
My sister likes the shot glasses. But my sister will always, like, she likes getting the shot glasses from people or places they've traveled. But she has, like, an entire cupboard full of shot glasses. Now, to me, I don't like the shot glasses because, A, they take up so much space. And I have very limited cupboard space. As it is, but they take up so much space. When am I actually doing shots at home? Yeah. And multiple shots. Like, I mean, if I had a shot glass for every place that I've traveled, like, I would need an entire, like, cabinet. It's just one of those very impractical gifts that people are just not going to use.
Yeah. No, I get that.
My sister likes them, but she's got the cupboard space, and I think my sister likes taking shots, so good on her. She probably likes dick magnets as well.
Yeah, I think I have one friend who's into the shot glasses, so I've gotten her a few, but yeah, that's what she likes. And same thing, that's like taking what the person likes into consideration, not necessarily what you think they should want. So if that's what she wants, that's what she likes, hey, easy
go
enough.
For it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like we've harped on a lot about gifts that aren't good. So
we're so ungrateful. We're like, we sound like the absolute, like most ungrateful, like children at Christmas where I'm like, I don't like this.
No, you're not. What do you think are good gifts? I guess it's just a very hard question because it's such an individual thing.
I will say, things I'll bring back for myself or even I'll buy for people, anything basically that can be used and like thrown away after. So, so that would mean, I think I already mentioned it, like anything you can cook with. Yeah. I remember when I was in Morocco, you could buy like all these different like spices.
Yes.
Which I'm sure you can get that kind of anywhere, but if you know somebody that loves cooking, like bring that back where they can actually like incorporate that into something they're doing on the daily. Again, if you go to some of these like local shops wherever you are, I've seen people that make soaps or they make their own like essential oils or like perfumes, that kind of stuff. Again, and not like the really like cheap stuff, like nice stuff that you can bring back for somebody that maybe likes, you know, I mean, I know who you are, Steph. You love a good like health and beauty regime.
Yes.
If I bought you back like a bath bomb or something that like somebody actually made.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of stuff that again, somebody can actually use it, appreciate it, and it's not taking up space. It's not collecting dust. I think those are the best types of gifts.
Yes, I agree completely. I'm big on consumables. Mm-hmm. The one thing I will say that you just said is you just have to be very careful buying spices and just understanding border rules because every country is so different. So, for example, when I was in Fiji, I did buy, and I do love buying spices because a lot of times they're just more fragrant, fresh. Mm-hmm. Like they just don't have that Western society mass produced taste. Like,
yeah.
Spices are such an interesting thing when they're fresh and you're like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be like. Mm-hmm. So I do love bringing those home, but a lot of times you have to make sure or shop from an approved vendor or whatever who have, in Fiji, you had to shop from people who had, were government approved so they could put a seal on the spice. And it was a seal that meant border control would allow it, you to take it with you.
That's a good point. Anything to do with food.
Yeah.
Obviously check. Be very careful about, you know, bring any kind of food and always, always declare it, of course, especially in Australia. I know most of our listeners are in Australia. Like,
Australia's hardcore.
I've seen those TV shows, Border Force, and we have it here. And oh my God, those people in like Australia, they don't fuck around. So always declare any food or spices that you're bringing back, but always check, of course, what the laws are, like what the rules are.
Yeah, Australia's hardcore about a number of things. So, but yes, consumables, usually things like even how you were saying, like how I brought you Australian honey, like that's sealed and it's not fresh. It's usually the fresh things that they're concerned about. But I think I agree. I agree.
I do really like, here, this is a great souvenir you can bring back, local snacks. I love when people bring back the local, like whatever the local, like chip flavors or crisp flavors, wherever you live, how you say it, like candy, chocolate. Yes, all of it. Bring that back. That is a great gift because I can consume it. I'm always interested in like what the local sort of like sweets are.
Yeah.
What the junk food, basically junk food. Like bring me back junk food from whatever country that you're in because I'm all over that. And I think who doesn't love junk food?
Yeah. True.
I especially love when people bring back like sweets and stuff from like Asian countries. A friend of mine, he went to Japan and brought back some very interesting sweets. And like, oh, like they had like, they brought back like a bunch of different like Kit Kat flavors. Like I swear Japan has like every Kit Kat flavor you can think of. And
interesting.
Oh, it's just wild. So good. But yeah, I think that's a great gift.
Love that. Okay. I think that's good. It's a good way to wrap it up. Some sound advice, some solid warnings to steer clear.
Bring me back food, basically, is what I'm saying. I like food.
Health and beauty over here.
Yes. I want to know from the listeners, what is the best thing that you've ever brought back, either for yourself or a friend? What's the best souvenir? What's the worst souvenir? What's the worst thing that someone has bought for you or maybe you've given to someone and now you think back and go, yeah, that was a bit of a shit gift.
I mean, we just had a lot of them, so you're not alone in the shit gift world.
All right. Alrighty. Well, that is it for this week's episode. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Shit I've Learned Abroad Pod, and donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit Abroad Pod and Facebook by searching All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.